Hello, this is Perry A. Welcome to Lifestyle Wellness Seminar. Our formula for format for today is a little bit different because we talk about life in general and how it affects us. And I'm on fire for you today. I started out with that song in the background, and the reason being is I want you to come from desire, to live your life from desire and from joy, and knowing that they're just opportunities galore that surround you in every moment, and that you have the opportunity to reach these gifts, and every person you come in contact has a gift for you. You may not even be aware of it, but to be aware of it, to find the gift in every person. Sometimes it's how to love yourself and set boundaries. Sometimes it's a suggestion. Sometimes it's a thought. Sometimes it's a phrase they say that you can connect with in you and say, wow, that's the missing part to my puzzle. I was looking for that information. So life is glorious and wonderful, and I'm always excited about it. I wake up every day saying, okay, God, what miracles are we experiencing today? And when I look back at my life, to think that I'd even be conducting a teleseminar, that's a miracle in and of itself. Specifically, about this topic, you know, it kind of evolved from the clay seminars as I saw people had some blocks, and I have spent a lifetime on working on getting through blocks, so I'm just passing on my information. Our topic for today is fear paralysis, and that is so not proactive. It is reactive. Now, granted, fear is good to warn us sometimes, but sometimes we overdo the fear thing, and it limits us. So we're going to look at the different types of things here, and my intention for you is to swap fear for desire. I learned that when your desire is greater than your fear, you can overcome the fear, and the desire wins out. If the fear is greater than your desire, you'll stay in your comfort zone, and you'll never reach out and go for life or things that you want. And I found this quote, I don't know who it was by, but it says, a psychology professor of mine used to say that 80% of decisions were based on fear rather than desire. I want you to think about that just a moment. 80% of decisions were based on fear rather than desire. Is that proactive or reactive? Very reactive, on the defense. Fear is kind of behind the eight ball, peeking out at life, behind this dark place. So if 80% of our decisions are based on fear rather than desire, how far have we gotten in life? Is that fear holding us back? Who could we be if we didn't have fear? Too often we settle for what we don't want instead of reaching for what we do want. And it's an epidemic that I call fear paralysis. Going, just settling, second best, instead of holding out for what you do want. Even in asking, oftentimes, you'll ask for something, said, do you want some ice cream? Yes. Well, here's some chocolate. Do we say, you know, I really prefer vanilla. Do you have vanilla? Or I prefer strawberry? If we don't speak up for ourselves and tell people what we like, how are they going to know? If you don't respect yourself, no one else is going to respect you. And if you let them walk over you, they're just going to keep marching until you're backed into a little corner. So you've got to respect yourself. And one way I do that is I don't let negative energy in my house. If people start getting in an argument in my house and raising their voices, I ask them to go outside. It's just like being a parent and your kids fighting. Okay, go outside and fight. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. Most likely they're doing it to get your attention and for you to intervene and triangulate and pick sides. But if they know that they're going to have to settle it to themselves, they're going to figure out when to quit pushing and when to quit hitting, and they find a way. They find a way. And so I ask the people to go outside and finish their conversation because I don't want the negative energy in my house. And I'm merely respecting myself. If someone uses vulgar language that I don't appreciate, I let them know. It really sounds like you're upset and angry, but I appreciate you wouldn't use those words in my presence. And if you'd like to, let me know when you're going to, and I'll get up and leave so I don't have to hear it. Depends. If they're in my house, I'll ask them to go outside. But I can always leave the situation, say, you know, the conversation here is not the way I like to talk and the attitude I like. I think I'm going to leave for now. Without judging them or putting them down, you're just stating your truth. So you can't play the game of life with sweaty palms. It's time to do a brutally honest decision audit and find out what's driving your choices. This is a little exercise I found, and it says, list the 7 top decisions you've made in your life. Think back to how you made them. Ask yourself truthfully if they were driven by aspiration or if fear ran the show. And these are major decisions, and I look back a long time ago, my decision to go to college and where I went. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background. When I was very young, I lived in the country, lived next door to my godparents, and the country was a great place. We had chickens and goats and pigs, and there's always something to do. I could go out and help gather the eggs even when I was little. But then World War II came along and gas rationing, and we had to move into town for my father's job. He couldn't get the extra gas. And people today don't understand that, but it was really big back then. I'm telling my age, aren't I? And we moved into the city. Well, I kept my love for the country, and during the summer I'd go back to my godmother's and I'd spend several weeks there, and I loved it. I was in heaven. I could go with the help, you know, be there when they harnessed the mules to the wagon. We'd go out in the cornfield when the corn had dried and gather the corn and put it in the wagons and take it and pull the shucks off and put it in the bin and save it for the pigs and the horses in the wintertime. And I'd get to watch Garbell slop the pigs and feed the pigs. Those sows were so big when they had young piglets, they wouldn't let you anywhere near them. So I'd just stand on the fence and watch, and it was fascinating. And I'd follow Miss Meyer into the chicken yard, and she'd let me help grind the corn for the chicken and make the mash for the turkeys and gather the eggs. And it was just an exciting, fun time for a curious kid. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and follow Garbell down to watch him milk the cows. And that was always fun. And then we'd churn the milk. We had an old separator. And we'd separate the cream from the milk and filter it and clean it. We'd clean it through a cloth, pour the milk through a dish towel to drain any dirt that had been on the cow's udder that didn't get washed off. Wasn't quite as sanitary as it is today, but we had raw milk and it was great. I wanted that in my life. My mother's aspirations for me were, I grew up in Houston, Texas, to go to the University of Texas. That's what everybody in Houston wants their children to do. To get a degree in liberal arts, just have a broad background of knowledge about the arts and history and things that women are supposed to know about, right? To marry a young businessman from Houston, come back to Houston, get married, live in a 3-bedroom brick home, a 2-car porch garage, have two children, a dog and a cat. And that was her aspiration. She wanted me to be in a sorority, probably join Junior League, do all the social graces and things like that, to be an entertainer, to have parties and entertain for my husband, take care of the children in the yard and things of that nature. I wanted that country. I wanted to be in the country. So I decided I needed to go to a college that I could get a degree in agriculture so I could learn more about it. And eventually, maybe by the time I got out of college, my godparents would need some help and I could go and help them with their place. Now, this was just my dream. I never uttered it to a soul. So I got in a headlock with my mother about where to go to college. And I wanted to go to Sol Ross because I also loved horses and I like rodeoing. I had a little horse and we'd go to the rodeos on the weekend. Never was very good. My horse wasn't a trained barrel horse or anything. It was just a ranch horse. But I wanted that in my life. So where do you go to meet cowboys if you want to live on a ranch? You go to an agriculture school. Well, my first choice was Sol Ross, which is way out in the boonies in Alpine, Texas. Well, my mother really wanted me to be in a sorority, so we compromised, and my dad intervened, and we had a relative who was the dean of agriculture or a roommate of a relative at Texas Tech. So my dad picked Texas Tech. They had sororities, and they had a really good ag school, and they had a rodeo team. Win-win for all. But when I walked into that ag education class, introductory class, that first day of school, there I was with 750 boys, and I was the only girl. I thought, what in the world have I done? You talk about fear creeping in. And I thought, well, it's too late to do anything now. All I can do is prove that I'm here for a degree and not a marriage certificate, study hard, and get my nose into my books and do a good job. And I did, and I lived on a ranch. I married a rancher and lived on a ranch for 27 years. Best place in the world to raise your kids. But it was that decision. And you think I wasn't afraid? Boy, I was. I thought, what have I got myself into? I didn't have much forethought. I never thought I'd be the only girl in the whole school of agriculture. But it turned out I made some of the best friends that I still have today. And these guys would do anything for you. They're great. We still communicate and get together occasionally. So what were your top decisions that you made? And think about how you made them. Ask yourself truthfully, is it driven by aspiration or fear ran the show? That one was driven by aspiration. And the major places that I had a decision in my life that I succeeded at something, they were all driven by desire. Was I afraid? Yes. After the divorce, I had a job in Seymour as a probation officer, and I had to teach a DWI class, but I used Cajun stories about drunks to take the preaching out of teaching, and I'd learned this Cajun from Justin Wilson in college. Little did I know that I'd be using it to teach a DWI class, and it changed the people's attitude. And then I realized right then, now I know what I want to do. I don't want to be a probation officer. That wasn't what I picked. It was the only job available. I was settling because I had never worked before and I needed a job, and that was all that was available in Seymour. So I decided I wanted to be a speaker, and I didn't know I could. And was I afraid? Yes. The first few talks I gave, my voice was quivering. I was petrified. But when I'd get up there and they'd start laughing, the fear went away, and I was just in another zone. You talk about zoning out. And the laughter and the excitement just fueled me, my desire to continue to be a speaker. Well, I did that for almost 15 to 20 years and had gotten to be a successful speaker when the clay business came along. And I realized when I got into it what a gift this was to so many people. And I needed to make another decision because you can't do two things and do justice to them. So I decided to hang up my speaking hat and commit myself to the clay company. Now, this started in the garage, in my garage. And I was doing all the things myself. And it was hard work. I still did some speaking. But I knew I couldn't devote myself 100% to speaking and 100% to starting a business and having it start successfully. again, there was fear there. I was leaving a known for an unknown. And I am so glad I did, because today it's taken me to another level of meeting people, knowing people. I still speak. I just speak about clay. It's not a motivational, humorous talk. But through these teleseminars, I get to continue my motivation and the uplifting things that I like to do. So ask yourself, list the top 7 decisions you've made. Pick one of them and say, were you moving towards something you wanted or away from an alternative that scared you? That's a big question. When you made the decision, maybe if I made the decision to go to the University of Texas, would I be moving towards something I wanted or just something that scared me? I went to Austin and I looked and I didn't like the atmosphere. I just didn't like it. I wanted a country school. And I don't think I would have ever made my grades because my heart wouldn't have been in it and I wouldn't have studied. So when you do something and sell yourself short, you'd really or do it for someone that's not for yourself and it's not in your heart to do, it's hard to put 100% dedication and effort and excitement into it. So were you afraid if you reached for your true desires, you'd end up falling short? Most of us are. I had no idea what was happening. Now, believe me, when I started my speaking job, I kept my day job, too. And I happened to have a day job where they wanted me in the public eye, so they would let me off to go give a talk. And then I could give some information out about a company I was working for. And so it served two purposes. And it just happened I had that job, huh? Coincidence? I don't think so. When you start moving towards what you really want and your desire is great, the universe opens up and sends you opportunities. All you have to do is accept them and without fear, to be excited about them. Often we think trying and failing means the world has rejected you and your efforts, and rejection is our number one fear. But living, really living, is about taking chances. So what a shame if you never conquered your fears. What a shame if you never conquered your fears and you lived in a bubble of fear and stayed in a comfort zone and a rut and you weren't having fun and enjoying life and doing things you love to do. And, you know, you can do it and have a family. You can do it and have a disability. I think all of us have heard about Amy on Dancing with the Stars, who lost both her legs, and yet she was second place runner-up in Dancing with the Stars this year. Remarkable athlete. Had every reason, fear reason, not to go through with it. And, you know, she had challenges the others didn't. Not to be able to feel where your prosthetic foot is going, like we do when we have feet. So don't ever think that you can't do it. Don't ever think that you can't do it. Now, I'm not advocating a reckless risk-to-reward ratio. In fact, feeling fear can be a good thing at times. There's a reason warning bells go off to alert us to impending danger. Whether it's in a relationship that's going south or a dark alley. So you've got to trust your gut feelings. What I'm saying, however, is that if you're ducking out on your dreams, you need to start believing in yourself enough to go for it instead of settling into your comfort zone. So there's a game we're going to play, and it's called the What If Game. I want you to ask a question, and then when you've got the answer, answer it with the realistic worst-case scenario. So what if you quit your job and the next gig didn't work out? Now keep asking, what if? What would that mean? Where would you be? And what if you took that alternative and asked, what if this didn't pan out? What then? And keep asking until, and even when you can't think of anything else or anything worse, keep asking because there's an answer there. So is it an outcome you'd be able to handle? Could you recover? How many people have you known who've had a hurricane come through and blow their houses away and destroy their lives, their records, their cars, and they start back and rebuild their lives? Yeah, it's difficult, but, you know, most of them have a better life. I've seen a tornado go through Wichita Falls, and it went through the older part of town, and they built it. It needed a facelift. Unfortunately, people were killed in the process, and there was a lot of damage, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but out of it came some good things. So as an outcome you'd be able to handle, could you recover? Think about it. You'd likely start over again and be much wiser. If you'd be gambling your rent money or your children's lunch money, then maybe the risk isn't worth it. But if that's not the case, I'm betting the downside isn't as bad as you think, and the upside could be life-changing. You'll never get ahead by playing it safe. You know, we started with the psychologist who said 80% of decisions are based on fear rather than desire. What if you could turn that around and swap the fear for desire? Could swap the fear thoughts? What if you said when you asked the question, if you quit your job or the next gig doesn't turn out, what if you said, I know there's something better out there, and that's why this one didn't pan out. Now, this is what I really want. If I could have exactly what I want, it would look like this. I want this salary. I want this location. I want these kind of people to work with. I want childcare. I want insurance for my family. And you could define it and ask for it and just keep stepping out and looking and telling people what you're looking for. And what if it showed up? What if it was good and not bad? But our mind always goes to the negative and the fear thought. So can you swap your thoughts? When you have a fear thought, say, this is only a thought. How would I like it to be? Where do I want to be? What do I want to do? And if I had no limitations, what would I be doing now? You know, I drew 3 random cards for this session, and I love it when I do that and I get spot on answers. And I got all 3 spot on that I can relate to what we're talking about today. One of them is a power thought, and it said, I deserve the best and I accept the best now. I am mentally and emotionally equipped to enjoy a prosperous and loving life. It is my birthright to deserve all good. I claim my good. Now, you got to love that one, if that isn't right on the money for us. I deserve the best and I accept the best now. I'm mentally and emotionally equipped to enjoy a prosperous and loving life. Who isn't equipped for that? Would you like prosperity and happiness and love all around you? Absolutely. These are Louise Hay cards, all 3 of these. The wisdom card is, I am one with everyone on the planet. I am on the cutting edge of new conscious awakening for the whole planet. I am willing to expand the horizons of my thinking. So being on the cutting edge of new conscious awakening for the whole planet, for your life, you can apply it wherever you want to. What kind of attitude do you expect? What kind of results with an attitude like that bring in? And the can-do card. I just love the way these came out. I have the strength to remain calm in the face of change. Wow. I'm in the process of making positive changes in all areas of my life. Well, to get out of your comfort zone, you got to make a change. So if you have the strength to remain calm in the face of change, to make the adjustments without complaining and look for the positive results, you can have a life stair steps ahead of where you may be now. And I have a closing thought. I found this in Abraham Hicks. It says, you have within you an inner being who will guide you through the path of least resistance or through the path of most allowance to the swiftest, surest route for the satisfaction of your intentions. You have a guide within you. We have a spark of the divine within all of us. We're all born with it, our inner guide, our intuition, our gut feeling. And if we'll listen to it, it will guide us. It'll let us know when we're on the right path. And it will bring us through every time if we allow it. We have to be open and allow it. And your inner being knows exactly what appropriate action, thought, word, or contact, synchronistic rendezvous that would be appropriate for you, and is eternally offering impulses that give you the feeling of moving forward towards it. Now, let's look at that again because I kind of stumbled on it. Your inner being knows the exact appropriate action or thought or word or contact or synchronistic rendezvous that would be appropriate for you, and it is eternally offering impulses that give you the feeling of moving toward it. So it lets you know when you're on track and you'll meet that person. And like I said, every gift has a gift for you and it's in your life. And if you go looking for the gift with an attitude of love and positiveness, you'll find it. If you don't like where you are, go somewhere else. Okay. So many synchronistic meetings that you experience are encouraged by the broader perspective. I love that. Just a minute, I moved my pad and I had another thought here for you. When you start adding the whys to what you want, then you really begin to vibrate in concert with that which you are. And when you begin to vibrate in contact with that which you are, oceans part, mountains move, people come out of the woodwork to accommodate you. Isn't that amazing? So ask why that you want these things. Ask the why. Why do I want more prosperity? Why do I want lovingness around me? And give yourself an answer. And don't feel shameful for wanting prosperity. I'm not rich, but I feel rich. I can pay my bills, and I have enough to give. And I love giving and sharing. And I give to different charities. And it's amazing to be able to have that feeling that I have enough to share with others. And my daughter, when she went through college, was a waitress, and she knows how much waitresses get tipped and don't get tipped and how much they work and how hard they work. And she always, even when she was struggling at a new job that didn't pay very much, a temporary job, she will still leave a generous tip when she goes out to eat for something because she's been there and wants to give back because she knows where these kids are that are working their way through college and what that's like. So there's a joy in that reward too. These notes will be available. They'll be in the archives, and Cheryl will send a notice to you to let you know. I'm going to look over real quick and see if anybody has any questions about our topic today. No questions as usual on the Live Well seminar. We don't get many. And I'm going to ask if anybody on the phone has a question they'd like to ask or discuss. And if you will press star 2, it will open your line and I can take your question. looks like we are complete for the day. We're right on spot on time. But I do want you to get these and list the top 7 decisions you've made in your lifetime and think back about how you made them. And if it was driven from aspiration or from fear, and what did that major decision lead you to? What next step did it give you? Did it get you out of where you were into something new? Or did it get you back in the same old, same old? It's important to ask these questions and play the what if game. What if? What if you quit your job and the next gig didn't work out? Okay, well, I'd have to go through my savings. What if you went through your savings and it still didn't work out? Well, I'd have to look for some kind of job. Okay, what if you looked for some kind of job and they were hard to find and you couldn't find one? Well, I'd have to take a mediocre job at best. There's always jobs around, may not be what I wanted or the income I wanted. What if you took that job, and here I'm going to interpose something. What if when you were in that job, you learned something about yourself that was a piece of the puzzle you needed to move forward? Do you remember the movie American Beauty? When he quit his job and went to work dealing, slamming hamburgers, and he was the happiest he'd been in a long time. If you haven't seen that movie, look it up. It's Kevin Spacek, and it was really, really good. All right, that's it for now. Thank you for listening in, and I hope this has been some advantage to you and that you'll take the exercises and work through them and see what answers you get. This is Perrier. Wishing you a wonderful weekend and a happy summer. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.